And we are back for the sixth edition of Ticket Bracketology with the Ticket college basketball expert himself, sitting to my right, Kyle Beery, and another guy sitting to Kyle's right named Bob Wojnowski, the big man.
Wojo, I go by.
Wojo, he goes by.
Kyle is the brains in the outfit. I'm just here. I'm just the pretty face here. Let's be
He's
honest.
The pretty face.
He's just the Polish rifle.
Yeah, exactly.
Dead eye from 3-point range.
Yo, he's got range. We've seen it before. Now, you know that usually it's a video segment here, but we're going to branch out and do a little podcast edition this week. A lot of big stuff happening here at the Ticket. But let's jump into to Michigan and Michigan State, who, again, our two top 10 teams in the AP poll. They've held that down for 14 of the past 15 weeks. John Beilein said last week, you're not going to find many states, if any, that offer a better slate of college basketball than the one right here. And this is kind of what we've been waiting for a few months, is the end of the season and as we go into March. What do you guys take of Michigan and Michigan State right now?
It couldn't be – the state of basketball in Michigan couldn't be any better. I mean – people have been talking about these two games literally all season, and now that it's here, it's generating buzz online. And even after Michigan State took a rough loss at Indiana over the weekend, I think both are still in the mix towards the top of the bracket. And Saturday's matchup at Breslin is going to go a long way in determining where they end up.
It certainly will. Last time we predicted their game at Chrysler, you, Kyle, the expert among us, was the only one to predict the score or the outcome correctly. Dumbass one and dumbass two here both projected Michigan, and we now have to eat crow, as they say, Wojo.
Yeah, very smart man dubbed this Mitten Madness. Right? Trademarked
an
by
old
Wojo.
Philosopher.
Mitten Madness. No, Saturday will be, although it might not be for the Big Ten title because freaking Purdue.
Yeah.
Now gets, what, Minnesota, Northwestern on the road?
Yep.
It'll still be huge, of course.
Absolutely.
Theoretically, it's still the Michigan State loss to Indiana really hurt them as far as a number one seed, if that's what we're talking about. I do think, say, Michigan were to win that game and then win the Big Ten tournament, I think they could get a number one seed. They're the seventh right now in the polls. And who knows? The Dukes and North Carolinas and a few of those are going to lose.
Yeah.
People think Gonzaga's guaranteed. Gonzaga's might be guaranteed to be the number one overall seed.
Yeah.
But I could see Michigan and maybe Michigan State.
I was going to say, Michigan is definitely in the mix, but I would not rule State out. If they were to win their last two regular season games and win the Big Ten tournament, that would be adding two wins, at least one win over Michigan, probably a second, and a win probably over Purdue. And that's a good way to boost the resume. And like you said, it depends on what Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, what kind of shakes out in those conference tournaments. It's not out of the question for Michigan State, but Michigan has the better odds, I would say.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing to see what, and you mentioned this earlier, to see where UNC has gone from the beating that they took at Michigan a few months ago. But we are with the famous and preeminent Greg Campy on Saturday night, the coach of the local Oakland basketball team. And he made an interesting point, which was that Michigan, while in theory it could be a one seed if they went out, including the Big Ten tournament, it's really, really rare to see a team win the conference tournament 3 years in a row. It's just so much has to fall in your favor. And it'd be a shock, I think, to see Michigan pull that off.
It would be three in a row. Now, they do get the double bye, which helps,
that's
obviously.
Huge.
And I would be surprised, I guess, if they won it again. But it's interesting. Michigan State hasn't dropped off that. The loss to Indiana, notwithstanding, without Ward and Langford. And Michigan without Charles Matthews. Sometimes in those short terms, all of a sudden it opens it up for other things. And now they're finding more from some young guys off the bench. And they've been playing the
Castleton
guy.
Looked good on Sunday.
So, injuries, to the credit of these two teams being really good, injuries have not sidetracked them. But I just wonder long term, like, can Michigan hold up? Like Teske could wear out, and Cassius Winston could wear out for Michigan State.
He certainly could. Now, just to clarify, what we're doing here, and Kyle has done this for the past 6 weeks, is he's projected the tournament field if the season ended today. So you have Michigan and Michigan State both as two seeds, correct?
Correct.
And which of those two is higher in your mind right now?
I've got Michigan slightly ahead. I've got Michigan as number seven, so basically, and Michigan State eight. So okay. State is the last two, and then Michigan is right above them.
Wait, do you do the whole 1 through 68 field every week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He gets those first four, too.
1 through 68?
He's, not messing around. This is
we got some major geek juice going here.
Tons of geek juice. Out on this. Oh, yeah. Man. I've been doing this a couple of years. I had my own little website that...
His
basically just did it for fun.
Is my Corsi. It's the same. It's right. The same thing. Let me put you on the spot then, Kyle. Right now, who do you see going further in March? The Wolverines or the Spartans?
Aside from the draw, mm-hmm. I mean, I hate making decisions without seeing a bracket in front of me.
Yeah.
But if I had to say right now, I'd probably pick the Spartans. If Nick Ward gets back, I would definitely be picking the Spartans. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they've showed enough without him. They beat Michigan at Michigan without Nick Ward.
Yep.
And the thing – that's not to say that I don't think Michigan can go far. Their depth issues worry me. But I guess I just said Colin Castleton looked pretty good on Sunday.
Yeah.
But they've had moments throughout the season where it's like, man, this offense is giving me nothing to get excited about. Mm. And the season has kind of gone in ups and downs of, yeah, they look really good. Okay, now what's going on these last three games or whatever? And, I mean, the Penn State game, I was like, what is happening with this team?
Yeah. You know, it's weird. Doesn't it bounce back and forth? Like, before last week, I said, okay, Cassius Winston, Michigan State. Yeah. And Michigan stubbed their toes. And then watch Michigan go into Maryland and play the way they did without Charles Matthews, and Indiana beat Michigan State.
Yeah.
I guess now I'm pinging back towards Michigan having a bit of a longer run, totally based on Cassius Winston doesn't have anybody to help him at the point guard. He has guys around, but anybody to spell him at point guard.
Yeah, I think Michigan and Michigan State and kind of the roller coaster ride that it's been this year, and this is a segue, is kind of representative of the whole college basketball season at large. I mean, every week it seems like, aside from Duke, we're talking about a new team, and the bubble's a complete mess, and Trick Gonzaga's been there pretty steady, but it's been a pretty topsy-turvy season as a whole. What do you make of the bubble right now?
Ugh.
Besides that it's a mess.
Who's your last four in, last four out?
Is about
how many from the Big
where
Ten?
Where we all stand.
I got 8 Big Ten teams currently. Pulling up my notes.
Is Iowa in? Iowa blows.
Yeah.
They blow, though. They,
Iowa's in, but they're on thin ice.
Yeah, they're definitely falling. They're in free fall right now. But, I mean, you can't knock them for just the last couple of weeks. They had some good early season wins.
Yeah.
The
Minnesota,
bubble, though,
can they get in?
Yeah. Minnesota. I've got Minnesota as one of the last four in, I believe, right now. The bubble as a whole, though, it's going to shrink.
Yeah.
There's going to be some bid stealers.
Damn bid stealers.
I hate those guys. Watch out for those UConn Huskies. They can steal a bid in March.
But a team like Indiana just played itself back on the bubble with 2 big wins.
Yeah.
I currently don't have them in the field. And over the next couple weeks, if they keep winning, they're going to be right there.
Uh-huh.
But they're going to fall victim to – they're going to be the ones on the wrong end if,
someone
say, Buffalo gets knocked off or Wofford gets knocked off, because both those teams are – they're locks to be in the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you love Wofford. I mean, you've watched Wofford play a lot this year.
Wofford and Buffalo. It's
about
time.
When you watch Wofford play, what stands out to you about Wofford?
Just are so Woffordish.
they are especially Woffordish this year.
But you know what's interesting about Indiana? as bad as the record is, and they have like incredible amount of like quadrant one good victories.
They've chosen the right Big Ten teams to beat, and that can go a long way in March. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we each picked a team that was in that maybe 10 seed range that we thought could make some noise in March. I bring this up because I picked Texas, who is looking pretty darn good since then. Who did you guys pick?
I remember taking Kentucky before, now that they got into...
They were on that 7 to 8 seed line back then,
and
right?
I'm sticking with Kentucky. I'm still not believing in Kansas. I'm still not believing in Tennessee.
Yep, I'm off the Tennessee train. And
I'm not believing in Houston.
Never hopped on. Who was your sleeper team as we deemed it? Yeah, we made those picks a couple weeks ago.
Oh shoot, who was that?
My low seed was actually Maryland because of Bruno Fernando.
Yes, the man of controversy. recently at least. Yeah.
My low seed was actually Wofford.
Oh, wow.
They're they've played themselves into definite single digit seed range.
Okay.
Ooh.
Would that be like a Wofford first?
Absolutely. They're ranked 18-0 in the SoCon, Southern Conference, which is actually not a bad conference at all. I think it's top 10 according to KenPom.
Right. Hey, so fans always want to know in March who's the sexy sleeper. Sounds like Wofford might be that team. Regale the fans and the audience on what makes Wofford such a sexy sleeper.
So they've got Fletcher McGee and Storm Murphy.
Boom.
Who both.
Enough said.
You see, you're just making names up now.
No, both these guys are
guys don't actually exist.
Both of them are shooting over 40% from 3-point range. Ooh. And It's just a Wofford year. If there ever was such a thing, it has to be this year with how strange everything is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
Fletcher McGee,
a mess right now.
And Storm Davis.
Buzz Brainer from the highway on Sirius Radio, and Stormy Warren. Watch out for those guys. They're just studs this year.
But you know what? By the time the tournament comes around, Wofford is going to be so overblown as a sleeper pick, it'll be cliche, and they'll lose in the first round.
Yeah. But let me know that Beery was on them early. He made that pick before it was in.
If I had to pick another team, a more traditional, 7-10 power conference team, don't sleep on St. John's, even though they've... I think you said it recently too. Even though they've been struggling lately, Shamori Pons is capable of putting up 40 in a game.
That boy can go off.
And Justin Simon, Marvin Clark, they're a good team.
Yeah, they are a good team. And it's been a long time coming for them to get back and make some noise in March. That it seems like, much like Wojo is convinced Oakland basketball is going to win the conference tournament this week because they're due.
I do think
St. John's is due for a run of their own in March on the grand stage.
Get Chris Mullen back to the dance.
But yeah, Shamori Pons was the guy that I kind of singled out when we made those predictions as a star to watch down the stretch, and I stand by that for sure.
Now, do we have to do a Final Four pick each week, or not until we get the... Like, who our final
sounds
four
like
is.
You want to make a pick.
Well, no.
You got four teams to give us right now.
No, I have to look at the brackets first. Oh, here is not a sleeper team, but what about Texas Tech?
Oh my gosh,
they're legit.
Absolutely,
they've got some scores.
Yes.
Chris Beard is a Coach of the Year candidate without a doubt.
See, don't fill out your brackets in March without listening to this little podcast first.
Exactly.
We'll give you the nuggets you need to pick the first perfect bracket ever. We won't pick it ourselves, but we'll give you the ammo to do so yourself. And then
you'll get the McNuggets from us, for sure.
Oh, damn right.
One thing I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Did you see what happened at the Nevada-Utah State game?
Yeah.
We were just discussing.
Animosity, fans and the Nevada players.
So
that was ugly.
It was ugly.
From what I've been reading and hearing today, is it sounds like there wasn't necessarily like physical interaction between players and fans. But I saw a video where Jordan Caroline, who's the one that punched the glass, he's at the back end of the handshake line, and you'd see him pause and turn around. He does it several times. So something had to have been said. I don't know what, but that was a very interesting situation to me. And I'll tell you right now, if they play Utah State in the Mountain West Championship game,
I
got Nevada by 30.
Yeah, mark that one down. Whatever the line is in Vegas, go ahead and hammer Nevada because they're not going to lose again. I mean, Wojo's theory on that that I agree with was that you go out in those shady areas out west there. You just don't know what to expect
on
those courts.
Yeah, for sure.
They're mostly homeschooled. There hasn't been a lot of socializing at a young age, so they don't know how to really interact with fellow humans. We understand. We get it. That's going to wrap it up here on that note. Obviously, well, no, you know what? No, it's not going to wrap it up. We've got a big game Saturday. It's senior day.
Oh, pick a score.
In East Lansing. We did this once before, and as I said, only Kyle called it correctly. I'll give you the honors because of that. Michigan State, 8 o'clock, Saturday night in East Lansing. Who you got?
Big game. Big game.
He's ruminating.
I'm going to take Michigan State to go for the sweep. I'm going to say 64 to 60. Another close one.
I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to give you the last line here.
Right.
I'm going to stick to my guns and go back with Michigan. I do think that our boy Simpson wins round two against just a fatigued Cassius. I like Michigan 69, Michigan State 67 in a thriller.
Nice. You know, I'm going to be a wimp and just go with the home team again, as I did the last time. Even though I really do think whoever lost most recently, that really does give them an edge, and Xavier Simpson playing with an edge. But because I'm being wimpy, I'm going to go with the home team, Michigan State, to win 70-69.
Woo! There it is. You heard it here first. Check back next week for installment 7. Of Ticket Bracketology.
Check us out on the website.
Absolutely.
I'd be remiss not to mention. I've got, as Woj said, I've got the whole 1 through 68, and check it out. Let us know
geek!
What you think.
Complete geek. It's absolutely complete geek. And if you're a college basketball fan, you will love it.
Geek.